All righty, this is Women's Focus that you're in tune to right here at KUNM. My name is Carol Boss, and a little bit later on, I'll be talking to some folks from Peacecraft. And right now, I'm really happy to introduce my next guest, and this is a segment of Revolutionary Soup, the ongoing series that I've been doing since February, all about food and our evolving relationship with food and each other around food and the environment, et cetera, et cetera. And joining me today is Robin Seidel. She is the membership coordinator and community development person coordinator at La Montanita Co-op, and also the managing editor of their monthly newsletter, which is a very fine publication indeed. Also a very fine publication is Edible Santa Fe, and the associate publisher of that publication is here with me today, too, Sarah Wenzel Fisher. She's also the manager of the Downtown Growers Market in downtown Albuquerque, which just ended its season, I think, last weekend.
It did.
And that's at Robinson Park.
It is.
Right near 8th Street and Central. So welcome, both of you.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I wanted to do a segment on the holiday that is coming up, Thanksgiving, and talk about real healthy but absolutely scrumptiously delicious ways of eating, and also maybe some alternatives to producing or making traditional foods, and maybe some non-traditional foods as well. So I invited Robin and Sarah to join me and see what they could come up with. And what do you think about getting stuffed for Thanksgiving? I was just thinking about that a few minutes ago. What about that notion of, yeah, it's Thanksgiving, I'm going to stuff myself? Sarah?
I mean, I think that Thanksgiving is a time to really celebrate food and have a really large variety of food on the table. The way that I like to do Thanksgiving in my house is over the course of many hours. And so being stuffed to me is kind of uncomfortable, but I do like the idea of eating a lot of food and celebrating food with my family. And so I like to draw things out.
What about you, Robin? What do you think about that concept or that sort of American tradition?
Well, like Sarah, I don't really like that over full feeling. So, too, I like it over a long period of time. And for me, it's a sort of a celebration of the harvest, which is how it traditionally began. And I think it's really important to mark that with a feast, that the earth gives us so much. And so often we take it for granted, and to really recognize what the earth provides for us and the work that it takes to make the earth provide that. And certainly Sarah knows well, because she works with so many farmers, to celebrate that and honor it in some way. And, you know, and I love to eat, so I could eat all day long myself and just enjoy doing it. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit more later.
Yeah, I like what both of you just had to say. And I just went to a potluck a couple of weeks ago. I missed the whole growing season in the summertime, and I decided that before the year ended, I had to grow something. So I planted very, very late, last days of August. And so this person had a potluck where everybody brought food that they recently harvested. And to me, that was thrilling. It's thrilling to grow something, and that's not necessarily what you were talking about, celebrating food and food that each of us individually harvested, but there's something really special and a great thing to celebrate. So I want to ask, what are your favorite things, each of you, to do for Thanksgiving, particular food?
I mean, I'm a big fan of some of the traditional foods, but I also like to eat the things that are in season. I do think that it also is a celebration of the harvest. And so, you know, there are some things that I think are classic items that go with Thanksgiving, like a green bean casserole. But green beans really aren't in season right now. And so I've been thinking about the things that I want to cook. And one of the things I've really enjoyed lately is gratin. And you can make this with any number of root vegetables, beets, turnips, potatoes, and it's essentially milk, poured over those, sliced up in a pan with maybe a quarter cup of some kind of hard cheese, and baked at about 325 degrees for, 40 minutes until the vegetables are soft. And I think that that's like a nice alternative to something like a green bean casserole, where you're using a vegetable that's in season. So that's one of my favorite things.
Is that the dish that some people say is gratin?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's gratin.
There are different French, ways to pronounce it, but yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Robin?
Well, I guess I do a pretty traditional Thanksgiving, and have my mother passed away quite young, and it sort of fell to me to bring people and family, friends together and sort of do it. I do it every year. It's been 25 years now, to honor my mom. And some people have been with me and coming to my Thanksgiving for that many years. And even though I've been a vegetarian since 1976, I get an embutto turkey, our local turkey producers up in Embutto, and I do stuff it, mostly with wild rice and brown rice and seeds and nuts, sort of a non-traditional, and lots of onions and celery and sage out of the garden. So that's pretty traditional. And then I make my mom's cranberry chutney, but I don't do it with Jell-O, because I just do it with agar, which is a solidifying thing.
So how do you make the cranberry?
So I get some cranberry juice, and I pour that in a pot, and I start simmering that, and I throw in some walnuts and some raisins and simmer that for a while, and the cranberries, throw the cranberries in, and when the cranberries start popping, I throw in about a half a package of agar and simmer it for a while longer. And then right at the very end, for the last minute or 2 minutes, I throw in a bunch of chopped oranges and just do the oranges like a flash, and then take it off the heat and pour it into bowls and put it in the refrigerator. And I do it a day or two ahead of Thanksgiving and then put it in the refrigerator, and it solidifies. And it's just this lovely sort of aspic cranberry chutney with lots of walnuts and raisins, and the raisins puff up and get like grapes again, and the walnuts get all soft and chewy. And
now that sounds absolutely delicious. If for folks who don't know what agar is,
it's seaweed, and it's a thickener, and it's a lot like, it works sort of like Jell-O, like the traditional Jell-O, but without the horse's hooves and all the sugar. So I do sometimes add a touch of maple syrup or honey in that if my cranberries are really, really tart, which a lot of times they are. And that's not a local product, I know, but it is sort of traditional. My mom always made it, and I can remember watching my mom make that. And so I sort of redid the recipe a little bit and made it a little healthier, no sugar. and it's delicious, and everybody loves it. So I do that a lot. And then I also make a sweet potato thing that I really love to do, a sort of creamed sweet potato sort of pudding with baked sweet potatoes. And I put them in a blender, and I use tahini for some calcium and a little bit of maple syrup and a little bit of vanilla and almond milk, and whip it all up. And then I bake it, but I don't top it with marshmallows. I chop up pecans and put some dates in it, and then just drizzle a little maple syrup over it and put it in the oven, and it gets all crispy on top and real pudding, like sweet potato pudding. You could almost use it as a pie filling if you wanted to make sweet potato pie. But you might want to put an egg in it if you're going to make sweet potato pie, because you really want it to set up if you're going to make pie. So I'm pretty traditional, I guess.
do you cook with or make a cranberry dish during Thanksgiving, Sarah?
The last couple of years, I have made this cranberry dish that I think actually gets put on NPR pretty regularly, that involves sour cream and some garlic.
Susan Stanberg's recipe?
Yeah, Susan Stanberg's recipe, and it's delicious. That's what I've been doing for a cranberry relish.
So what else is in there besides the sour cream and garlic and cranberries?
That's a good question.
But NPR listeners should know this by heart.
I know.
It's on every year.
It's almost become a joke with Susan Stanberg as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to sort of plug for a minute some of the places to source some of the ingredients that Robin was just talking about. The most recent issue of Edible Santa Fe has a really wonderful buying local meat guide. So whether you get a turkey from Embudo and you order it through the co-op, or you call up Pollo Real and get one of their birds.
Which you can also get at the co-op.
The magazine has a long list of places that you can get not only poultry, but pork, beef, bison, any number of things. So whether you go with the traditional bird or with something else, there's a lot of really good places to buy really delicious local sustainably raised meats.
So do you cook meat on eat meat?
I do. I love cooking birds, and I love to cook them in a pretty traditional way. I like to bake them slowly and to brine them, to soak the bird usually 24 hours ahead of time in a salt bath with herbs. I think that it sort of permeates the meat and gives it a really delicious flavor. Some of the things I put in are thyme, juniper berries, sometimes some oregano, whatever kind of herbs appeal to you. Sometimes if I've got some fresh rosemary in the garden or something, I'll throw that in also. And I usually use a canning pot or a big 5-gallon bucket that's laying around, and you use about 2 cups of salt, and you cover the bird in water and put those herbs in there, and then the next day bake it, and it comes out beautifully.
Lest anyone doesn't know the difference between buying a commercial turkey and buying at, let's say, some of these local places that you're mentioning, would one of you explain the difference?
Well, there's no comparison between the two. I mean, if you want a bird that's injected with chemicals and artificial butter and fed on antibiotics and raised in a cage and never allowed to walk and never sees the light of day, doesn't eat pasture, doesn't eat grass, and do the things that these kinds of animals are supposed to do, then, you know, the whole CAFO culture, confined animal feeding operation, CAFO culture, is the conventional meat. But so many of our producers here in New Mexico really take great pride in raising animals in a much more sustainable, environmentally wise, and humane way. And Sarah mentioned several of them: Pollo Real, Embudo Turkey Farm, Organic Turkey Farm. It's 100% organic. It's raised on pasture, grass fed. They eat the bugs. They, you know, walk all day, and the meat is, I hear, I haven't tasted the ones that I cook, but I hear it is absolutely much more tender, much more tasteful and delicious, and.
And I mean, I think that there's an element of there are all those things that make it taste really good. But the fact that they have recently been slaughtered and are, you know, on your table in a short amount of time from when they were killed to when you're eating them, they're just so much more fresh. And that makes them much more delicious also. Like with Pollo Real, I know that you can get birds that haven't been frozen before, and when meat has been frozen and then is cooked, it really changes the way that it tastes. So
same with Embudo. It's fresh at the co-op. I mean, they deliver and we sell them, you know, within a few days of their harvest.
So imagine if people make reservations. Or reserve a turkey, maybe?
A lot of people do, yeah. But you can just walk right in and they're in the case. And we did buy, and I don't even know how many hundreds of turkeys that we bought this year from David Rigsby and Jimmy McMullen up at Embudo Organic Turkey Farm. So they will be there.
Now, for those who do not want to cook turkey at all for Thanksgiving, or who will cook it for guests, but they want, or having guests who are coming who are vegetarian or who choose not to eat turkey, what do you suggest as if somebody really wants to have a main you know, the main centerpiece.
Stuff a squash.
Yep.
Gets one of the beautiful, you know, the squashes. And right now they're all coming in and you just see them piled up and the colors and the shapes. And each one has a very distinctive flavor. And so if you wanted to do a really beautiful centerpiece, and I have done this sometimes, you just get a squash, cut off the top, stuff it as if it were a bird with whatever stuffing you're using. So then I put it in a dish that gets a cover and stick it in the oven, and the juices infuse the stuffing and the stuffing infuses the taste of the squash. And, you know, the squash is bright orange flesh or paler, and, you know, maybe the outside is a blue because it's sort of blue-green-blue Hubbard or...
Yeah, that's exactly what I love to do also for a vegetarian option. My sister-in-law is a vegetarian, and last year we did, I think it was a Cinderella pumpkin. They're sort of a
beautiful
deep red. And
I haven't heard of that.
You do. We just, you know, you sort of carve it like you would carve a regular pumpkin.
A jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. Yeah. Hollow out the inside, and we stuffed it with, I think, a sort of dense bread, Gruyere cheese, some vegetable stock, wild mushrooms, and maybe some nuts, and then, you know, sprinkle a little more cheese on top and bake it till the squash is really soft, and it's amazingly delicious.
It sounds amazingly delicious.
Don't hollow it out too much. Keep some of that delicious squash flesh in there.
Oh, yeah.
Just take the
seeds out and leave the, you know, nice inch and a half layer of squash flesh in there.
And if you're doing smaller, you can do a couple of different kinds of squash in one baking dish. And then the colors are so beautiful. You know, you might have an orange and a green and a red. You know, you've got this. It's like a flower that you bring out of the oven that you can then put on the table. It's beautiful.
Describe the best way to carve out squash, because I know some people who really have a hard time with that.
Well, whenever I do it, if I'm going to do a baking project like this, I will usually sort of cut a 6-inch circle in the top around the stem. And I think having a sharp knife is really important because squash is so tough. So sharpen your knife first and then, you know, lift that lid piece out, and then I usually use just like a big metal spoon and scoop the seeds out, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And you know, it can be difficult, and I think that maybe some people have a little bit of a squeamishness about taking the seeds out because it can be messy, but that's the other suggestion I have, is just get your hands dirty, put your hand in there and make sure that all the seeds are out, and go from there.
I have to say that's one part I do. I love squash. I don't enjoy dealing with that mushy, seedy part. Yeah, sometimes it flies.
I wanted to plug one other source for vegetables. The co-op is a great place to get local produce, but one of the farmers at the market downtown, Chispas Farms, Amanda Mione and Eli Berg, are putting together Thanksgiving boxes. So it's sort of like a CSA, but it's just a one-time deal, and you can order a box from them. And they're sourcing vegetables from 3 or 4 local farms. I know that Amio Farms will have some produce, and Vita Verde Farms will also have some produce in the boxes, and maybe one other farm. But they will have daikon, potatoes, radishes, maybe some kohlrabi, lots of greens. And then onions, garlic, maybe some shallots. So it's a really good way to get a good quantity of local produce. And they will have a pickup, I think, 10 days before Thanksgiving, something like that. So
that's coming right up.
Mm-hmm. And you can order.
It's coming this week.
You can put in an order for that box by going to their website, which is chispasfarm.org, I think, .com. I'm not sure.
That's CHISPAS.
Yes, or going to Facebook and just doing a search for Chispas Farms.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really nice source for stuff that's really fresh and wonderful. They have a lot of, the season is running a little bit late this year, so there's a lot of food still in the fields. And since we're just hitting the first frosts, they sort of put their heads together and thought that they would do a Thanksgiving box, which I think is a fabulous idea.
So what other dishes for Thanksgiving would you like to share with listeners?
Well, it's green season, and there's a lot of kale and chard and stuff. So instead of the traditional green bean casserole, you could do a quick kale Swiss chard collard stir fry and just in a frying pan, chop up some garlic and some onions and saute lightly, throw in, chop some fresh ginger and throw that in, and then chop a huge big pile of all those wonderful greens that you can get in the Thanksgiving box from the farm or at the co-op or from your garden, hopefully. I know my kale frames are like kicking butt right now. It's really cool to see my kale is really going wild. And so chop it up and just throw it in. You can sprinkle a little tamari on it after it steams a little, and you do that right before you serve it, and it's just really delicious. And you can put other vegetables in it too to, you know, spread it. You can chop some carrots in there or whatever, and the root vegetables you would put in with the onions and the garlic at the outset, and then your tenders, like all the greens and leafy stuff you put in at the very end. You could chop some broccoli or some cauliflower or whatever and just make a quick little stir fry that will go really great if you're having sort of a rice or bread stuffing. You can, if you're too totally vegetarian, just throw in some tempeh or some tofu, and then you have protein and greens for your vegetarian guests, and keep some of your stuffing out of your, unless you're doing your baked squash, then you you have, you know, your grains and your protein, your tofu and tempeh, and you have your veggies. So then you've got that complete thing ready for your vegetarian guests.
I was going to share a real quick recipe that I made up a couple of weeks ago. I cooked some sweet potato and I baked it in a Pyrex dish, and I added different spices to that. But then I've been growing arugula, and so I made arugula pesto.
Wow.
And I had some friends' homegrown tomatoes and bell peppers. So actually, I also oven roasted the bell peppers and the tomatoes on top of the potatoes, because I took the potatoes out. I don't describe a recipe really well. But then after I took
you're
out...
You're doing fine, Carol.
Potatoes, I'm trying to do this fast. The potatoes came out in the Pyrex dish. They were cooked for a while. And then I put on top strips of red bell pepper and slices of tomato. And I added the arugula, which of course had like olive oil and walnuts and some Romano or Parmesan cheese. And I put it back into the oven until it got crispy on top.
Wow.
And that
sounds really good.
That pesto is delicious.
That pesto is like really great on top of sweet potatoes.
I know people often forget that you can make sort of a pesto thing out of any kind of green. It doesn't just have to be basil.
Right.
You can do it, like you say, with arugula or parsley
or spinach
or, you know, just
cilantro.
And
cilantro.
Any kind of nuts. I've been making it with pecans this year, trying to, you know, do experiments in local ingredients. And so, yeah,
any
kind of nuts
good.
Too.
Yeah.
Any more recipes to share, Sarah Wenzel Fisher?
I was just going to say that the stuffing that I love the most actually is not a root vegetable stuffing. I really like to do beets, turnips, onions, and then dried fruit of some kind. I like to do apricots and then maybe some white wine and a little bit of herbs. And I feel like using those root vegetables that have more moisture to them makes the bird turn out really moist. I feel like sometimes if you use a bread stuffing that it tends to suck moisture away from the meat. And so I would recommend folks, if they're looking for a different type of stuffing this year, to use root vegetables as the stuffing.
And so how do you do that?
I usually cut up the root vegetables into like half-inch cubes, and then also quarter like dried apricots, toss that all in a bowl, maybe put a couple tablespoons of olive oil, a quarter cup of white wine, a pinch of salt, a pinch of pepper, and whatever fresh herbs are around, and then just stuff it in the bird the same way you would stuff any other kind of stuffing in the bird. And I think it just keeps everything really moist and wonderful.
And for those who don't want to stuff a bird, that just sounds absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, roasted root vegetables is always one of my favorite things to have. And whatever there is, you just, you know, they don't take much. You know, it's super simple. You just basically chop them up and cover them with olive oil, salt, and pepper, and then stick them in the oven until they are soft. So,
this is Women's Focus. My name is Carol Boss. With me in the studio is Robin Seidel from La Montanita Co-op and Sarah Wenzel-Fisher, who is the general manager of the now closed for winter Downtown's Growers Market. She's also the associate publisher of Edible Santa Fe. And even though you two assured me that 30 minutes was a sufficient amount of time for this conversation, I'm telling you, we haven't even got started yet. But we're going to have to end in a few minutes. Let's jump to dessert. Do you have favorite things you like to do that are absolutely scrumptious, but maybe more healthy than what lots of folks normally eat on Thanksgiving?
I guess.
Or is that true?
I feel like not that they're a contradiction in terms, but I feel like dessert should be done right, and dessert should be a little bit rich. I also feel like it doesn't need to be a lot, but I'm also a traditionalist in terms of Thanksgiving dessert. My favorite thing is a pumpkin pie or a squash pie, and the thing that I like to do differently, because we do have so many beautiful heirloom varieties of squashes available, is to just sort of pick one and use a pumpkin pie recipe, but use it with a different kind of squash to sort of explore what the different tastes are. And then an apple pie is my other second favorite.
What kind of apples do you use?
Well, I think this year I will probably use a Roman Beauty, just because it's what I have. I got them the last week of market from Wagner Farms. I don't know if they still have any apples available, but the apple crop this year in New Mexico was not spectacular. But you know, if we have a good apple year, I usually will just use whatever is the best sort of firm, crisp, tart local apple that's available.
Favorite dessert, Robin?
Well, I'm really blessed because I do the savory part, and my daughter, who is now a cook at the North Valley Co-op, bakes all the pies, and she has been an amazing pastry chef since she was quite young, and she bakes traditional pumpkin pie. She makes an incredible apple honey pie, one thing that's really good is another friend usually brings chocolate-dipped ginger, which really helps your digestion. And then we generally have, like, fruit, like a little fruit salad. And so homemade whipped cream with good organic cream. So, yeah, I'm like Sarah. I like my sweets, and that's what we do.
So in the last couple of moments that we have, does anyone have a suggestion or a recipe for perhaps something that you'll love to have on Thanksgiving that is not necessarily remotely paired with Thanksgiving?
Well,
really different.
How about instead of doing gravy, like if you do a turkey and do traditional gravy because that's really high fat, you could do sort of a vegetarian red chili, which is really good on turkey. Just make chili sauce, and it's real New Mexican, and it sort of gives your Thanksgiving table that blast of New Mexico warmth, and it's really great on mashed potatoes and red chili. I just love. And also, if you can do a mashed rutabaga, because Sarah was talking about baking them, but if you just boil them and mash them with just a little salt and pepper, either olive oil or butter, depending on your choices, and put some red chili on it, it's pretty amazing.
Sarah?
Robin sort of took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to also suggest having, you know, both red and green chili on the table, sauced in some way, however your family likes to do it, is the thing that I really love to have that is not necessarily traditionally Thanksgiving, but I feel like there's so much delicious chili that's in season right now that it's an essential part of a New Mexico Thanksgiving.
Right. This is New Mexico, right? We got to have our chili.
Yeah. Well, and there are, I also just wanted to say that there are so many interesting types of chili out there also that I encourage people to explore beyond the traditional green.
Red or green.
Yeah.
Name a few.
There are some different types of pasilla chilies that tend to be sort of a darker, almost brown chili, and you can find them like at Pro's. There are a few farmers who grew them fresh. I think that they are all gone, distributed at this point. But they make sort of a nice dark brown, very sweet chili sauce.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah, very
making
very
me hungry. All this food talk.
You know, if you've been listening to this segment on Women's Focus and you missed some of the suggestions about how to prepare, you can go to, I'll say it again, you can go to our website, kunm.org, and click on 2-week archives, and that will take you to a page where you put in today's date. And we started right around, what time did we start?
About
1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So you can hear it again. And I love that we didn't give in, you know, whatchamacallit, amount.
Good hand movements there, Carol.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want specific recipes, on the Edible Santa Fe website, we have hundreds of really fabulous recipes.
Wow.
We have a blogger named Amelia White who posts a new recipe every week, sourcing local ingredients. So there are a lot of really fantastic recipes there. If people want suggestions, they feel free to email me with questions. I'm happy to have this conversation outside of the studio with anybody who wants to talk food.
And can I guess that the co-op newsletter has some Thanksgiving recipes?
The co-op newsletter has Thanksgiving recipes. It's also, you can go to all the past November and December newsletters in the co-op newsletter archive on our website at www.lamontanita.coop, no.com, just .coop. And you can also email me, robins@lamontanita.coop.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, both of you, Sarah Wenzel-Fisher, and I love saying your name, and Robin Seidel. Thank you both for coming in today.
Always fun, Carol.
Yeah, thanks for having us.